Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Coming up on today's edition of Sports Reporters Who Have Indeed Reassembled here on the Chase Thomas Podcast, the Chase Thomas Podcast Network. Got the Daily Beast, Robert Silverman, and AL.com sports editor Andrew Hammond to talk about the biggest thing in sports this week. The Heat-Celtics series, what the Celtics offseason is going to look like, the Knicks, some fun Knicks trades, Julius Randle, why the Pistons are the biggest losers in the NBA draft lottery reveal, what the Blazers are going to do around Dame, and then, of course, the Spurs landing Victor Wembanyama. So what that means for San Antonio and why it's cool for basketball that Victor wound up in San Antonio. So all that and more coming up with Bob and Andrew here on today's edition of Sports Reporters Assemble here on the Chase Thomas Podcast. All right, Uncle Darren, let's go.
Sports Reporters Assemble!
Chase Thomas Podcast. The Chase Thomas Podcast.
My nephew needs me to record. See, I already hate it.
All right, you heard it. Sports Reporters, we have indeed reassembled on this fine Sunday morning. I didn't get the beanie.
Yeah, where's your beanie?
I didn't. It's hot, man. Like, I'm in the South. Andrew's about to be here in the South, so he'll understand. I don't know. Andrew might be a beanie in the summer kind of guy, too. I don't know.
It depends on if I've got my hair cut or not.
Yeah, it's 60 degrees in New York City right now, and what that means is because it has been warmer, the heat has not kicked on in the central heating building.
Oh.
So the building still thinks it's like 80, so it's a little chilly.
Mm. Well, that voice you heard there, that's Bob Silverman of the Daily Beast. Bob, good afternoon, sir. How are you?
Fine.
I'm going to go see God, Are You There? It's Me, Margaret, with the wife in a couple hours. Have you seen it yet? No.
They made a movie of the Judy Blume book?
Yeah. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, there you go. Yeah.
Huh.
Bob's on top of it. Also here, I just had some oatmeal and it's just like, I caught love oatmeal. Maple and brown sugar oatmeals. Top notch. Top five meal for me. Avail.com. Soon to be a Southerner like myself, Mr. Andrew Hammond. Andrew, good evening, sir. How are you? Or good afternoon. Excuse me.
We're getting into it. We're really mixing it up. Gonna chop it up with Andrew, ask some real questions.
I love that Andrew's on the couch for this because it really feels like this is going to be a therapeutic session here because Andrew is comfortable. He's on the couch. He's got the beanie.
Yeah,
he's thinking about life. He's thinking about
The funny thing is you guys already know what I'm like pissed. And
yeah. There are different kinds of Andrew. When we got Andrew in his office, or as everybody calls it, the ham cave.
Yes.
You know what kind of a take you're getting, but this is different. This is a more contemplative Andrew. This is Andrew ready to get real.
Oh no, I'm fine. I swear to God, the first two games in the Eastern Conference Finals, I thought we were back in Orlando in the bubble.
All right.
Other than that, I'm fine. Other than that, I'm
fine. Oh, I think I got some oatmeal in me too. Oh, mm. Bad. Prods. I'm sorry. What?
What was that, Bob?
Something about frauds. I don't know.
Oatmeal in the throat.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no. It's. I just want to say, oh, they got you too, didn't they?
Yeah, they did.
Well, you said they got you. I still think the Celtics are winning the series. I think what? The Celtics are still going to win the series.
Where? Yeah. If they play three quarters and they just decide, you know what, we aren't going to have a fourth quarter.
I just don't think Tatum's going to keep doing this fourth quarter after fourth quarter. I'm just betting on it. So I think they get out of it. I don't think they win the finals. I think they're going to lose again to the Nuggets, but I do think they make it through.
I'm still not sold on the Nuggets, honestly.
They are the best. I'm sold. I'd like to ask.
I mean, I'm sold on the Nuggets coming out of the West, but for the Nuggets to just completely, like, they won't, whoever they play in the finals, whether it's Miami or by some miracle Boston, it's probably going to go six or seven games.
I think they would rather get Miami than Boston. With the wings that, like, I don't know who Denver's throwing at Tatum and Brown.
I can't believe you, despite all the available evidence, you are, in fact, slighting playoff Jimmy. I really can't.
I'm not slighting him. Okay, playoff Jimmy. Here's a Bleacher Report had a stat last night. Jimmy and Michael Jordan are the only two players in NBA history with these averages in a postseason.
Yeah.
35-5-2 with a 50%+ field goal percentage. Like, Jimmy, playoff Jimmy, like, this is unreal. Like, what he's doing right now. I just don't trust the rotation guys. Like, they're still playing Gabe Vincent in crunch time. I still don't think you can win a title with Gabe Vincent in crunch time.
I feel like we have 2.5 rounds of evidence about what Gabe Vincent can do.
Yeah,
he's fine.
Yes, that's
but you see what happened with the Lakers. The Rui Hachimura stuff is fun and cute until you are calling ISOs late.
Yeah, here's the difference between Miami and Denver.
Okay.
Denver is getting a team that, you know, look, I hate saying, because it feels like I'm not discrediting the Lakers and what they did in the second round against Golden State, but a lot of energy was expelled. A lot of emotional energy was expelled.
Mm.
Now you've got to go face a Denver team that I'm not saying is, I don't want to call them overrated.
I hear what you're saying. Keep going with this.
I think the West as a whole was very good, but they weren't like the far and away best team in the West, at least in my opinion. They weren't. But compared, Denver is a better matchup for a Los Angeles team that is just kind of going on, hey,
vibes.
That thing that we didn't. No, I hate saying vibes, but they're rolling at a point where it's like, okay, we've refreshed the roster for a good month and a half, 2 months. Everything was working, but everybody's going to adjust. And Denver has a great game plan for a Los Angeles team that if on a wrong day, you can catch them, and they've caught them three straight games. You can't do that with a team like Miami. There's just – their bench is tremendous. The rotation is efficient. You've got a coach in Spo who I'm glad we're giving him his flowers. By the way, majority of basketball Twitter should have been doing that about like 4 or 5 years ago, but yeah, I was doing it. Yeah, thank you, Bob. You're a true patriot. If I'm Denver, I want Boston because Miami might just, what was it, the San Antonio Miami series in 2014, where, you know, we all expected it to go six or seven games, and then it went maybe five, and we're all just like, oh my god, this is a butt kicking.
Yeah.
Miami wouldn't do that. Guess how many times an 8 seed's won the NBA Finals ever? Zero. Guess how many times like a team outside, like the lowest seed to ever win is a 6 seed. That was the Rockets in the early 90s. And they had a key.
Get rid of the seeds at this point in the NBA.
I think
get rid of the seeds.
I don't think so. I don't think you can.
I have a point. Not that I don't talk too much already, but I have a point of parliamentary procedure.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, okay. I think the one thing that we're learning about basketball in the year of our Lord 2023 is that because there are so much turnover on rosters, because there is so little time to practice, the teams that won always play hard are at a distinct advantage. Like it's not a question of just eventually talent will win out. That used to be the thing in the NBA was, okay, look, if you have, say, a team with LeBron James, Chris Bosh, and Dwayne Wade, those guys are going to win over the course of a 7-game series because the talent is too great. These days, there is so much more parity. The talent cannot be overwhelming. And what we're learning is that teams that are smart always play hard, know their role, know each other, and know how to execute are at a significant advantage, even if you just go 1 through 12 on the roster and say, well, team Y is actually more talented, as is the case with Boston. Boston is a more talented team than Miami, full stop. I don't think anyone would argue with that. But what we learned is that actually doesn't matter if they are not able to play smart, play hard, and execute. And all Miami has done throughout the first 2.5 rounds of these playoffs is just prove that no matter what, you will not out-effort them and you will not out strategize them, and therefore you have to meet them on that playing field. You have to meet those goals, and then your talent will prevail, as you know you'd expect. But right now they do not, as the old sports cliche goes, beat themselves. You have to beat them, and Boston is beating themselves already.
I don't think that's necessarily going to be the case there. I still like Tatum's numbers. You go through it and like what he's done against Miami, like he averaged 31, 10, 4.
We have seen a handful of games. We have seen half games where Boston is playing like what is playing up to their capabilities. We have seen stretches during the regular season they have, but they have not put together an extended run. Like prick the average Boston fan like Andrew Hammond, and they'll tell you that the inconsistency and the seeming like, oh, okay, well, we can phone this quarter in and then just, you know, flip the switch and go, that they've had a lot of weird, bad losses. For one example, the game they lost to the Knicks when Jalen Brunson was out and they got gacked by Emmanuel Quickley being a prominent example. And they're doing it now. I don't feel like the problem is they have thought that all year. And they had the second best record in the East.
They should have been the one seed by at least 6 or 7 games.
Because Milwaukee had a stretch where they all knew their role. They were playing hard. They were playing smart. And they lived up to their capabilities. But in the playoffs, they weren't there. And Miami was. And that's why they got gentlemen swept. I'm just taking a certain amount of pride in the fact that so far the team that's given Miami the hardest fight is the Knicks, but that's neither here nor there. Andrew,
The Celtics are giving them a fight. It's not like these are blowouts. The Celtics had the game in hand in game two there. Like, they let it slip away in really, really rough fashion in the Grant Williams confrontation.
Give me my internet points. Give me my vibes. That's all I want. I need some Knicks feel goodery.
The Knicks had a good series. That was a fun series.
Here's the thing about that Knicks series. Miami, and I'm not trying to throw any shade at the Knicks, but Miami, the way Miami closed out the series when they got the third game in the series and then, of course, got the fourth game, it was clear. It was like, yeah, New York, you might try and stretch this as long as possible. You might try. But it's not going to happen. And so when I look at Boston and I think about the differences, and I said this on Friday, and everybody was like, oh, what do you mean? As for all of his transgressions, Ime Udoka could reach the team in those moments, because it's not like, you know, this has been a, we're going back to 2020. This is the first time that they met last year in the playoffs.
Right.
Mm. And we all expected the series to be as competitive and as heated and as contentious as it was. But what Ime Udoka became with the difference maker in that series is that there was an even kill approach. If he had to kick somebody in the butt, he had to kick somebody in the butt. There isn't this, you know, there was a poise factor with how they handled clinching the series on the road. There was a poise factor when Miami was making that deep run and everybody saw it happening, and you just saw the calmness. You saw it in the Milwaukee series last year. You saw the difference between a guy and a coach who has been there and who understands the moment, and a coach who, the only thing we've talked about this series is that he watches the town 2 to 4 times a week. I'm sorry.
I tweeted that out. Once that little factoid came out in that GQ interview, in the GQ story, I was like, Heat and four.
Well,
I'm sorry. Watching the town over and over again, Heat and four.
It's a great movie, though.
Problem.
Town's a fun time.
It's a great movie. But here's the problem. The guy that should have been the head coach. And when you look at the market of who's available right now.
They didn't have a choice. Look, they couldn't. Once Udoka was fired, they didn't have a choice, and they were playing well. They couldn't just suddenly.
I totally get it.
Austin didn't have a choice about who was coaching.
I think
they could go get a Nick Nurse or a Mike Budenholzer or any one of the very good coaches. Or Monty Williams. They could. Rather than Joey Mozzarella, but
you're in a situation where, and somebody was making the point, oh, well, this is why you can't sign the guy with an extension. It's kind of like he kind of gave him no choice. Like because if you're gonna have time to get rid of the elephant in the room. Get rid of the elephant in the room. You just don't have a guy hanging in limbo.
Someone hand Brad Stevens an intro, an Econ 101 textbook, and then dog ear the chapter that says sunk cost fallacy.
Do you think he does the Pat Riley thing at any point
where he puts himself back in power?
I think he's thinking about it.
I think the bubble, when they went to the bubble and they were arguably the favorites in the East, and it was another meltdown, but this time it was a systematic failure, and it was a, I cannot reach these guys. That's what that admission was. I can't reach these guys. So I don't think he wants to go back.
Yeah, I think
it's
also a better job. You will stay in that job a lot longer than being the head coach of a basketball team.
He wants to stay in Boston, but like I said, going back to that Eastern Conference Finals in the bubble, you could see on his face because they had the fight. I don't know if it was game two or game three, but then as the series went on and even into the next season, it just wasn't there.
Look, a college coach, you guys know this. You guys are college sports knowers a lot more than I am. The role of the college coach is to be a recruiter and a team culture builder more than it is to be.
I think that's true of football, not basketball.
Really?
Yeah, basketball. Like, Boeheim still loves his zone. And, like, college basketball coaches still put way more of their imprint on what guys, because they're call and play after, but, like, there's a lot more hands-on instruction. All right.
If I'm wrong.
College football, though, I would agree. Yes, the head coaches are more recruiters.
My assumption was that recruiting matters more, and therefore this it's just
Brad's recruiting is king. Recruiting. You don't get me wrong. Recruiting is king.
That he's basically saying this is actually my chief skill. I mean, granted, you don't really recruit NBA players, but that it's more of an organizational overseer type thing. And
yeah,
I think
join me. The Celtics are winning the title. That's where I'm at now. I think the Celtics are winning the title.
I thought they were making the finals. My prediction was, what was my prediction? I think I said Denver. I think I said Boston, Phoenix.
I think you said Boston, Phoenix.
Yeah, I was wrong.
I said Denver, Bucks. So I'm halfway there. I said Denver, Bucks. But
I think I might have said Boston. Oh, no. I know what I said.
I said Bucks winning the title before the year.
Because I said Boston, Golden State.
Yeah, that's what you said.
The rematch, yeah.
Well, that, and to be fair, about halfway through the season, I was like, the West is so just 16.
Yeah, it could have been anyone. Run these playoffs another 100 times and you'd get
I'll say this. It's crazy how we're still like, oh, my God, Tatum and Brown have not gotten it done. They're 26 and 24 years old.
Yeah.
So, but the problem is,
well, Jaylen Brown did promise 5 titles by what, 28?
Okay.
Well, whatever. But we have to remember that they're still young, but at the same time, it's just like you've had a contender window open far longer than one. You probably should have had in the first place. Two, you've been able to extend it as long as you can. And three, that window, and I don't know, Bob, you may disagree with this.
Sure.
Within the last year, it's felt like it's closing sooner than anybody in the organization wants to think or believe.
Right. Let me ask you a question, Andrew, and tell me if I'm wrong. I think what Boston needs is, and I don't know if this person exists in the current market, but I feel like they have to move on from Marcus Smart and get a real point guard.
Welcome to 2020, Bob.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, man. It's still 2020.
But why are we doing this? They almost won the title last year with Marcus Smart as the point guard.
Here's the problem.
Well, then we're talking about is, are they – well, we're not – the question isn't, is Boston an excellent team that has a good chance of making the finals every year? The question is Boston the odds-on favorite to win? Is Boston the team that everyone's going to pick? And – yes, I understand this has been a long-running debate, but I feel like we've reached the breaking point. And if I were Boston, I would go try and get Fred VanVleet.
Can they afford him?
Yeah.
You can afford anybody in the NBA.
Yeah. I mean, we
he does feel like a Brad Stevens guy. Great college player. He can feel that the double Brogdon role, him in FVV, just the ultimate college guards.
In the last, 4 or 5 years? Mm. What's money in the NBA? Money means nothing.
Yeah, if you built a trade around Marcus Smart for a sign and trade for Fred VanVleet, I feel like, now granted, Fred will get hunted. Like, Fred is for a guy who's 5'11". He's a very solid defensive player. He's certainly not the defensive player of the year type that Marcus Smart is. But I feel like they need someone who can. Jimmy can be an offense unto himself, but that is a rarity.
Mm-hmm.
Kawhi
can do that.
Kawhi was playing with Marcus Smart and Kyle Lowry.
Yeah.
There are very few guys. Like, peak LeBron could do that. Mm. Peak Kobe could do that.
Kevin Durant.
He had Steph Curry. Kevin Durant cannot do that.
I mean, he still had. I mean, that, but he was still.
He got
able...
a lot of assists. I'm telling you, a guy who can function as like the apex scorer and can organize the offense and get everyone where they need to be. It's a short list. Steph Curry could do that.
Yeah.
But he was, you know, if you want to say he's
early
not
Paul George with Indiana, right. Who was point guard?
No, not at that level. I'm talking about winning a championship.
He was a first seed. He was a number one overall seed in that Tibbert.
Michael Jordan could do that.
Yeah.
Jimmy can do that. But go get trade Marcus Trade you. Boston is
you
not.
You need a point guard. You need a point guard.
They need a real point guard. And if they're worried about Boston's defense, Fred can hold up. He's not the defender he was during the Toronto title run, or even a couple of years ago. But
I'd still take it over Marcus Smart.
Yeah.
And the problem with labeling guys as the heartbeat of your team, because there's a certain team in the Bay that had to pretty much went through 82 games and a playoff suspension to realize, yeah, it's not, we've got to move on. I want Boston to have
move on from who?
Huh?
From Draymond?
Yeah.
No, Draymond's not going anywhere. Yeah, you got to ride till the end of time.
The money gets, with the new CBA, the money is going to be, it's going to be they, very yeah, hard.
You got to ride it out, man. You got to die with those three.
I mean, I think that they're, someone's got to go.
I think it's Jordan Poole, and they just find a way around it. For Kuminga who? And Poole.
Who's yeah. trading for Jordan Poole's, like,
I think there are teams around the league that would talk
$40 million contract.
The Wizards would do something like that, for sure. The Timberwolves would do something like that. There also, are teams just, around the league that would
I
do
wish
it.
I
the Mavericks. Be, like, there are teams out there. The Rockets.
I truly wish I could be a Wizards or Hornets fan. You want to know why?
Oh, the Hornets. Another
because
one.
Because you no, just you know your team isn't amounting to crap.
That's a terrible feeling. You don't want that. And can I please speak from experience here?
And you don't have to have the emotional investment and just watch everything crush as you waste multiple championship windows in a 12-year decade. No, I'm fine. I'm fine. This is therapy, Bob. This is therapy.
Okay. I'm telling you, you're looking at grass and thinking it's greener when it's ditchweed. You're wrong on that.
Bob, have you had a contender window in the last 12 years?
20. No.
Okay. So
none.
Let me feel none. Like this, okay?
None. Knicks fans are pleased as punch for an extremely mid second round exit and are delightful.
Y'all are so hyped. And I'm just like, oh God, I wish I was. Bob, this is not a
do
personal
it.
Attack
do
on
it.
You.
Do it.
But
do
God,
it.
I wish
do it.
I was just blissfully stupid like Knicks fans.
Do it. Do
My
it.
God.
It's fine.
You
yes,
guys
we're enjoying
happy.
It. We're being blissfully stupid. It's a lot of fun.
God.
I oh, wish I'm sorry.
I wish
I'm
I could
sorry.
Just.
Sorry. I really feel bad for the last, the fact that the Celtics won a title at the end of the 2000s, then, and had an excellent team for the KG stretch, then had a couple of fallow years, and then went straight back to being in the playoffs every year.
If not for KG's knee, they probably win it in 2009.
Probably,
You win it in 2010.
Years of mostly excellent basketball. You poor guys. I feel so smallest violin. Come on.
Let me feel like
I had to watch Andrea Bargnani play. Okay, come on.
Well, you also got to watch Jared Jeffries, Anthony Randolph.
Jared Jeffries, by the way, has a fishing show.
Does he really?
I think it might have been canceled. I forget which network it was on. It was on some janky cable network. He has a fishing show. It's delightful.
Bring back the Andy Routin's SMY TV show.
Yeah,
bring
sure. The back. Andy and Landry show. But no, garbage teams for 23 years.
You got a book out of Linsanity. You got a book out of it.
One year!
But that was still one of the best years of any sport.
Yeah,
like, that's a dream
a
for any sports fan.
Documentary. Yeah. I don't want to hear it.
Really
speaking of things I don't
want to
hear, I don't want to hear anything.
Suffering measuring contest here between the Knicks and the Celtics.
And me as a Hawks guy, I'm just like over here vibing, just like, hey, Quinn Snyder's just hiring all these college guys.
Let's ask a question. Are they going to trade Trey?
No.
Are they going to trade DeMarco Murray? Not DeMarco Murray.
DeJounte Murray. Yeah.
Are they going to trade DeMarco Murray?
No, I do think if they move anybody, and I think they'll move someone, I think it's just John Collins. I think ultimately they just find
no, John Collins.
They finally moved John Collins?
No, John Collins can't be moved. I'm sorry.
We've only been waiting 5 million years for that.
Quinn is just such – I know it's just been forever, but, like, I just think when Quinn is going to – and the staff that he's thinking about and what I've seen from Quinn's rosters in years past, my gut tells me he's going to do whatever he can to make the dual guard situation work with DeJounte and Trey. but he's also gonna, he's going to be a big DeAndre guy. He loves Jalen Johnson. I think Sadiq Bey is someone he likes a lot, and I like Sadiq too. I think he sees the writing on the wall with spacing. Like, if you're going to have to play Capella and Onyeka significant minutes to, and they can't shoot either of them, there's just no path to the Hawks having a top 10 offense in the league with Collins and those guys on the floor together, because Collins is just not ever going to be that kind of floor spacer that he trusts. So I just think the plan is probably to start Sadiq at the four and then rotate Jalen Johnson for the next couple of years. So that's my gut. My gut is that John Collins is moved for maybe another guard because Bogey's always banged up and stuff like that. So I don't know. That's my gut. Is I don't think they do massive changes, but I do
Hawks
think.
Talk.
Yes.
With Chase Thomas.
That's the Hawks talk.
The other thing I will say, I do understand part of Andrew's pain, which is that watching, I don't know, Williams College's own Duncan Robinson repeatedly slice and dice your defense on backdoor cuts, that's very frustrating and annoying.
But I think the Celtics are still winning this series. I'm going to say they're going to win the title. I think they're going to win the title.
You poor, deluded bastard.
They're a volatile team, man. All they do is threes and at the rim, and those are going to fall probably today in game three. We're recording this before game three. I think the Celtics win big game three.
Don't know. You know, are we going to cut the game off at the third quarter? Are they going
to? They might not have to worry about it because they're just up so much because all the threes are falling. This might be a 50-pointer.
I have one more question for Andrew. I have a question for Andrew. Mm. For Andrew Hammond. Andrew, yeah. Which team in the Chinese League is Grant Williams playing in next year?
Hold on. This is a Tennessee question, too, and that's a Tennessee shot. Grant Williams, Tennessee legend.
Grant?
Why does he get so much
Because we
crap?
All know how forgiving and understanding Boston Celtics fans are. Especially we all know
players of color.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We all know that. So you're gonna give him a mulligan
what's crazy
turning the tide in the second game by for some reason breaking the one rule of Jimmy Club, which is you do not piss off Jimmy Butler.
You do not antagonize the Jimmy. Here's the
thing. You might as well
thing.
Have said that Big Face Coffee is crap. Come on.
Grant actually didn't play that bad of a fourth quarter.
No, he didn't.
And that's what's kind of like. It's like, yeah, Grant, you probably shouldn't have said that. Also, the stars, the two guys who were supposed to. Hey, speaking of Atlanta, Chase, I hope you enjoy Jaylen Brown in Atlanta next season.
Oh my God, I would kill. Like, you give me Jaylen Brown, I guess it would have to be DeJounte in that deal. For y'all, because you're.
I don't think Trae Young is built for that Boston Celtic life at this point.
No, I don't think so either.
Well, like I had been
they're
saying,
They're not trading Jaylen Brown. They're not trading him. He's not going anywhere. Come on.
Are you serious?
You just can't. Yeah. You don't find two top 10, 15-ish players that are on the wings like this in this league. It's just
here's the problem, though.
They're going to supermax.
Winning and the success that they've had this season has masked a lot of problems within that core. That's been there for a while. So something's got to give, and the fact that Jaylen Brown has been subject of trade rumors and all the stuff over the last year and a half, 2 years, the man is sick of it.
Yeah. Okay. We'll give you RJ Barrett, Emmanuel Quickly, and Julius Randle for Jaylen Brown. Do you do it? No picks.
Go
figure out some contract
bastard.
To make it work.
You
no picks.
Bastard.
I mean, you guys throwing. I mean, yeah, we're not throwing in picks for that. Three guys.
Could you do well? I don't think Andrew does that, right?
I want a pick.
All right, if I'm Leon Rose, first I need to wear
a t-shirt with a blazer. Unprotected then... first in 2027. Give me unprotected first in 2027. I'll throw in 2 second rounders for the next 2 years.
I also hate that that's not that long from now. Like, I'm like, wow, that's so. Oh wait, that's like 4 years from now.
I'll give you 2 second rounders. I'll give you 2 second rounders and the protected Milwaukee and Wizards pick.
Is that a first?
They're first, but they're highly protected. They're already protected.
Okay. Okay. No, deal. You got yourself a deal.
Deal. Fine. Jaylen Brown is a New York Knick. You've got superstar six man Emmanuel Quickley. You've got noted Canadian RJ Barrett. And you've got third team All NBA Julius Randle. The Knicks have
also, I love with, how Julius Randle, how, what was it, 2021, where Julius Randle was a cult hero. And then it was, oh my God, Julius Randle's the worst person on the face of the earth.
The Julius Randle experience.
Trey killed him.
It's a roller coaster ride. No, the Julius Randle experiences can be boiled down to this. Whatever your expectation of Julius Randle will do, he's going to do the opposite. He's Charlie Day and It's Always Sunny. He's a wild card.
God, that's so accurate. I hate it. But I just love the fact that he went from like a cult status hero when they were, what, 4 or 5 mid-season in the East. And then as soon as the playoffs hit, as soon as the series is over,
he got
Julius Randle, you're the worst ever.
He got absolutely locked down by the Atlanta Hawks in 2021. And he got
a lot of people did.
Now, granted, he was dealing with some injuries in these playoffs, but both the Cavs and Miami treated him like an afterthought most of the series. He had an excellent regular season. The problem is that he goes into these moods where if the first couple of shots don't fall, he might not rotate on defense. He might spend half the game complaining to the refs. These things happen. He's going to be 28. I'm not sure if he can figure out how to become a more consistent player. When he's on, he's great. And the other big problem that I don't think is fixable with Julius Randle is his decision-making and processing speed. When he makes quick decisions with the ball, whether to pass, drive, or shoot, he can be unstoppable. But sometimes he likes to ponder, you know, the foibles of man and the basic fundamental questions of existence while standing 20 feet on the high key. So that's the Julius Randle experience. In any case, he's Boston's problem now because I just called this into the commissioner's office while I was making that statement.
Okay, cool.
We also know that, I don't know, Bob, would you do, I think this is the better one that I think I could see happening, is RJ and Julius for Anthony Simons and the number 3 pick for Portland.
I mean,
would you take a step back just to get that number 3 pick for like Brandon Miller?
Not for Brandon Miller. I do it for Scoot
Henderson.
I would do it for Scoot. I don't understand the Brandon Miller love. I do not.
Brandon Miller. Here's
or as in some of my basketball chats, I'm not going to take credit for this line, but in a couple of my hoop centric group chats, they refer to him as Jabari Smith Jr. So
I think he has more upside, and I think he can do stuff on the ball. Jabari needs, like, Jabari's, like, best case scenario is, like,
close to people who have actual sources have told me that the Brandon Miller to Charlotte stuff is very real.
It absolutely is.
Well, then that gets it. That gives you Scoot Henderson.
I am fairly confident that a Scoot Henderson, Jalen Brunson backcourt could hold up just fine. Yeah, okay. I would do that.
Yeah,
I would take a step back there.
That is two running.
The Knicks won't, but I would do
football. Just going at the rim, and God, I love it so much. But no, Brandon Miller is like the perfect Charlotte Hornet for MJ. I mean, I know MJ's not like
he's selling the team.
He's taking a step back, but I'm sorry. That's like that's the one like last like salute.
I'm sorry. I feel like I don't understand it. To me, from the limited amount of college basketball I've done and mainly blog reading, it's Scoot Henderson.
Yeah,
take him.
Yeah,
take him. If you're worried about having two guys, like I don't see where there's an issue between LaMelo and him. I feel like what their games mesh really well. You can figure out how to share.
They would be annoyingly good.
They would be good. They would, if nothing else in Charlotte, they would be super fun, which Charlotte really hasn't had for ever. So
Brandon Miller has the body and he has the makeup of what you want in a prototypical wing now.
Yeah,
like he has the look. The problem that I have mostly is the consistency and an outside shot.
And we're gonna, and we'll just ignore the sort of off court issues.
Well, and the off court, the off court issues are one thing, but when I look at just him on a team, the thing about Alabama was they were good enough at times to mask the deficiencies that were clearly in his game, and they could. They could out-athletic anybody, and they could get away with that. But when we saw in the NCAA tournament, and you can pull up the tape from that San Diego State game, and really, you could even go around back and watch the second round against – I forgot who they were playing, but he just – I think it was Maryland, but he – Brandon Miller shooting the basketball is one of those, hey, it's kind of like with Julius Randle. First two might go in, but if he's going to try and shoot himself out of a slump, it could be a long day.
Here's the most basic NBA / college / NBA draft assessment of why I would not I would run to the podium screaming with Scoot Henderson if I had the second pick. It's that Scoot Henderson has that dog in him and Brandon Miller doesn't.
Oh, absolutely.
There, that's my answer.
Speaking of the draft lottery, though.
I don't know if Brandon does.
Brandon does not. I have not seen evidence that Brandon Miller has that dog in him. I watched that game where it was in the, where the G League Unite or the G League Super Fancy team played against Wemby's French Pro team, and Scoot said, "Okay, Victor Wembanyama is the greatest prospect since LeBron James, the greatest prospect since Kareem, et cetera, et cetera." And he said, "No, I'm going to show you that it's me." And to me, that is, especially in the NBA in 2023, that is a real thing that, while not quantifiable, is absolutely something you can track and you can see it and you know it when you see it. And to me, that's why it's Scoop.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Andrew, the biggest draft lottery winner and biggest draft lottery loser for you is
I'll
who?
Give you a loser, the Pistons.
Why were the Pistons the biggest loser for you?
You can take the editor out of Detroit, but...
Well, and this is why I say it's the Pistons, because... I'm not saying that they were tanking on purpose for 2 years, but because it's hard to, you know, they've had some bad luck, but then it turned like from hard luck to bad luck to, okay, you know what? We need to position ourselves to get a top three pick and, you know, just do a remold things a little bit, reshape things a little bit within our franchise core. But then it was, okay, we're going to get rid of Dwayne Casey, which I think it probably could have come a year later. I think they did it a year early because I think just injuries and trying to undo 5 or 6 years of just bad GM work was not on him, but at the same time,
Troy Weaver had a lot. He had to really clean out the stalls first.
Yeah, and so I could see why Dwayne Casey said, "Yeah, just give me a front office job because I can't do this another year." Because, and all for straight up, they're probably gonna be back with a top five, top three pick next.
I did this last year, but I could see, I was not a Jaden Ivey liker, but he had a very solid end to the season. I feel, you know, if Cade Cunningham comes back healthy, they got to sort through all the, you know, the Island of Misfit Toys bigs they have, but a player I really, I think Tyson Hendricks would be a great pick for them there.
At five, because I think they expected a top three pick.
They did,
and arguably, arguably should have maybe had the first pick. And so, yeah, so all of a sudden you're looking at the top three prospects. Either one could have worked. I would say I would have put Brandon Miller last on that list, but they could have still made it work because I think that, and maybe, you know.
Wait, you think Brandon Miller of the three would work the least in Detroit?
I think he would because you essentially have a version of him
I don't know how
say him and Bojan might actually work pretty well. If those are your two wings, I don't hate that.
I don't hate it either.
Cam Whitmore, I think, would be a solid pick for them. I like him as a scoring wing. Mm-hmm. That would be good.
Also, there's opportunity. I'm not saying that the opportunity is there to trade up, because you don't have the assets. You don't have the capital and you don't have the assets to do it. So somebody could fall, but the problem is the top three draft picks. In the top three teams are all basically just kind of like, well,
yeah,
I like to stay here unless Portland does something at three, which I'm like,
well, it no, seems Portland, like they don't want to stay at three. That picks
Portland is going to try to
funny get, as well.
If they trade the third pick and Simons for Zach LaVine, I'm going to laugh. I'm going to laugh at Portland,
but I don't hate that for Portland.
I do.
If you're keeping Damian Lillard, the pick should be moved. If you're not keeping Damian Lillard, then yes, take it.
So you're rolling with Zach LaVine and Damian Lillard in your backcore. Cool. You're going to score 100. Jeremy Grant. You're going to score 130 points a game and win 40 games.
Yeah, that's fine. Just write it out with Damian Lillard till the end.
2014. In 2014, I love that roster. Now.
They used to. Do you remember their five at one point? Like, they were the kings of like the best starting five, like the Andre Miller, Brandon Roy, Nicholas Batum, LaMarcus Aldridge, and Greg Oden starting five. Like, they were like an all time great theoretical team.
Miller or DeAndre Miller?
No, it was Andre.
You said DeAndre.
Did I see DeAndre? I meant
you did.
Andre,
yeah. You did. It's okay.
Portland is in a weird spot.
I don't know what Portland does, but they're going to trade the pick. I think
I love Portland. Like I said. Portland's in a weird spot, but I do love like the slowly unraveling of Damian Lillard, where it's like, no, guys, I'm fine. I want to stay in Portland, but then like you just see it in his eyes. It's just like slow. It's like a slow burn. It's like a wrestling heel turn where he's just like, no, guys, everything's fine. I'm in a great situation right now. And all of a sudden, he's just gonna go completely off one day.
If I were Portland, I would not trade Dame. I would not trade the third pick for some disgruntled star, if you want to call Zach LaVine a star. I would draft Scoot, and
say, I think
you don't get the chance at a possibly elite player in the draft very often, and I really feel like Scoot is one of them, and I say you take it, and if that means that you are not contending with Dame, that's okay. There is no one you can trade for who you will turn this Portland team in Damian Lillard's final years into a contender.
I got a question for you, though, Bob.
Draft his successor.
I got a question for you, though, Bob.
Shoot.
If you're Portland.
Uh-huh.
I'd say
am I Portland white nationalist or am I Portland Antifa? Narrow it.
Okay. Anyway, if you're the Portland Trailblazers.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Got it.
God, Bob, I can't stand you some days. Anyway, if you're the Trailblazers, I know 2019 you aren't taking any calls. In 2023. Are you at least listening to an offer
for Dame? Yeah, of course.
I think you shouldn't be a GM if you're not always listening to everybody.
Yeah, of course you're always listening. If the point is that like Dame doesn't want to be traded to a team where he can chase a ring, okay, that's a given. I just don't see. I do not see a path for them in because we're talking basically. I mean, who knows? Maybe Dame can continue performing at this level into his like mid to late 30s. But he's going to be 34 this year, I believe. Jamie, how old is Damian Lillard going to be? Jamie, okay.
He is 32. So he'll be 33 this year.
Okay, so he's 33. Honestly, I thought he was 33 this year. But like, if you're basically saying by 35 in 2 years, Portland, with a limited amount of draft capital and like, you know, I like Shaedon Sharpe. I think he's really fun, and that was a good pick last year. Simons is, I like him as a young player. Given what they have to build a contender, that means you're trading both of those guys. And I kind of think the better response is to say to Portland fans, Dame is going to still be here and be awesome. It may not result in a lot of playoff wins, but we will do that. We will keep Dame, and we're just going to keep building with Shaedon, with Simons, and with Scoot Henderson. And I think that's the better way to go about it. And look, if some team comes and blows you over with an offer for Dame, and if Dame is that's what I want to do, then okay, cash in your biggest chip. But it seems very misguided to me to think that in 2 years, in basically two off seasons, that you can get there. Maybe I'm wrong, but that would be me.
Yeah, no.
As a not GM.
Can I just say too, the people who are I understand if you're a Rockets or a Mavericks or a Suns fan, why you were the sky is falling when Victor Wembanyama ended up in San Antonio.
Which, that's by great. The way, can we all admit that that's actually the, okay, all of the fans of those franchises are sad, all the people who work in those franchises are sad, but Victor going to go play for Pop
is fantastic.
It's good. It is capital G good for basketball.
Yes. Right? Even though he doesn't have a contract right now, right? He has to get extended going into this year. I think his contract's up or something.
It's
what fine. If he retired? We'd even get Wembanyama. I do think it's funny though that Tony Parker, it's Avengers Assemble type deal with Victor
Tony
now.
And Tony and Timmy are we're going to help.
Yeah. What does that mean?
That means that Tony's going to let him know which girlfriends it's okay to hit on.
Okay.
What? Danny Green is going to come back and explain when it is and is not a good idea to take photographs at a Holocaust memorial site.
Oh, my God.
I didn't forget.
Bob remembers everything on Twitter.
Tim Duncan is going to let him know how wide the lapels can be on a pair of jeans. The important stuff.
Also, isn't Tony Parker a really high-up advisor to Michael Jordan? Aren't they best friends? I remember reading that Tony Parker and Michael Jordan are super close for some reason. And
maybe.
Yeah, there's
Tony was in, I think, and Jamie, tell me if I'm wrong. I think Tony was already working with the Metropolitans 92 with Wemby's French team.
Okay.
So I think they've known
each other. Well, I thought it was Olympic
Boris. Leon. No, it was Boris Dia was involved with Metropolitans 98. So yeah, he's got them.
Because Tony Parker.
Boris Dia needs to teach Wemby how to slack off. That is awesome.
There you go.
Boris.
I mean, I also just, it's going to be fun, but also I think people the Spurs have been awful. It's so weird because they did the Kawhi thing so wrong, and that DeRozan trade was so stupid and set them back for so long.
The DeRozan trade was... Yeah, that was a mistake.
In theory, it was a great idea.
It was. I killed it at the time. I'm like, what are you doing? DeRozan is you're not going to keep this thing moving. Just bite the bullet. The Kawhi thing sucks. No, just bottom out.
I understand it. I don't think it was. I think it didn't work. I liked it. I liked saying, no, we're still going to be a good team. I like it.
Okay. I'm just excited to see what it means because I think the Spurs, in college football terms, Andrew, they're maybe Florida State or Nebraska, where it just feels better.
Another absolutely Florida State.
Right? Where they were the champions of our youth, and the logo still means something, and you're just it just feels like the
you
sport's
just
better.
You want them to play meaningful games.
Yeah.
You want them, for as much as we are all about, the T-Wolves and all these other teams in the West, not counting Golden State and Los Angeles, whatever, but Like, you want to see, and like Ivan, you know, admitted to Bob back in what, early April, late March, like, the Knicks in the playoffs is great. Like, yes. You want to see that.
You want the bing bong guy out there.
I don't want the
hey KD, don't you regret not coming to the Knicks guy.
I don't think that this is going to result in, you know, San Antonio, you know, going on.
I think San Antonio could be good, like a play-in team this year.
Oh, I think they could too. Because
I think there's a non-sure chance that Wimby is one of those.
Like, for as bad as we talked about San Antonio, they just had no direction.
That's another team where I would think, okay, it'd be really cool if they could figure out a way to snag Fred VanVleet.
Oh, yeah.
I hadn't considered them.
Yeah. Fred VanVleet goes to San Antonio. They have those wings are all young and not fully formed yet, but a legitimate organize the game point guard. Yeah.
It could happen
real quick.
Honestly.
With a quickness.
You say play-in game. I see a path to a six seed.
Yeah. If they get a legit top 15 or top 20 even point guard. Yeah.
Like if they, because I just look at the way the West is shifting, it's kind of weird right now because you're going to have Denver. You don't know how long that's going to last. And everybody else is just either in a holding pattern or they are trying to convince themselves, Golden State, that the window has not closed. But then you have some other teams, Minnesota, who basically just like, tried to mortgage a 2 or 3 year window and ended up falling out of it.
We talked about that extensively. I liked the idea of that trade last summer. Didn't work.
Yeah, it didn't work. They tried to like keep the door open, but then like a Category 5 like hurricane was like no, not happening.
I don't know what they're gonna do. Also, because man, log on to Sportrack, that Towns extension, that Towns Supermax.
Oh.
It is bad. It is a bad contract.
I don't know who is, I mean,
I feel bad for Anthony Edwards because Anthony Edwards is cool and fun. For Kermit Wiltz, he's awesome. And boy, is that team is a mess.
And guess who has to deal with it? A-Rod.
Yeah, well, A-Rod's not really dealing with it. He's A-Rod.
Let me have this, Bob.
Okay. Dunk on A-Rod. Okay.
Thank you.
Lower the rims to 8 feet and just dunk him into oblivion.
Bob,
yeah.
Anything you want to plug as we wrap up here today?
Not at the moment, but you can always find me on the Twitter at Bob Saeta, even though for some reason Andrew can't figure out how to spell my Twitter handle properly in that window in the upper left-hand corner. But sorry, it's not a big deal. It still says Bob Saeta.
Oh, no. Did I get it wrong?
Yeah, you got it wrong.
Boo.
There's an extra E there. You win a special prize if you can figure out where it goes. No, you can always find me on there. I've got some stuff cooking, but nothing imminent.
AIE.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I got it. I'll do it real quick before I forget going into next week. Andrew Heyman, what about you? AL.com, what do we got this week outside of the Bama just being double-digit dogs when Tennessee comes to town this fall?
SEC baseball tournament.
Ball's coming in hot.
Not really sure what you're talking about, Chase. I do.
Maybe doesn't even have a baseball coach because their coach gambling stuff. So Bob, that's a good one.
We talked about this too. I'm sorry. You cannot make gambling a one-touch Amazon-type purchase and not expect this stuff
I've been calling for this since, like, I feel like since we've started doing this. I was like, this is not going to end well.
Nope.
And we have a, I will still say we are on the verge, or we are in the early stages of a gambling crisis in this country. And I really hate that the leagues have leaned into it.
They chose short-term game over long-term growth. What a shocking shocker. Development.
Shocker. America. Okay. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I gotta head out. So
yeah let's cut and print right on America.
There you go. Bob Silverman, Andrew Hammond, always a pleasure, and I will talk to y'all next week.
Nicely done, nephew. Chase Thomas Podcast. Hell yeah.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.